Any questions?
Recently, one of our devotees noticed that we think if we overcome all the difficulties, then we will probably be happy. But it turns out, even if we manage it, we become even more unhappy. So is real happiness in this fighting and progressing process? And also there are some people who just want to dissolve in Brahman, be calm and peaceful and no fight. Why do they have this kind of desire? Where is it originally from?
Srila Guru Maharaj would say there's three worlds that we can conceive: the world of exploitation, the world of renunciation, and the plane of dedication. At present, we're living in the world of exploitation, where one living being lives at the expense of another. Right? In Sanskrit and the Bhagavatam says, jivo jivasya jivanam. One life living at the expense of another life. That's the world of exploitation. Darwinian evolution, call it survival of the fittest. So, or what's been described, you know, the constant struggle for survival. So inspired by a Darwinian take on existence in the modern world, people are being encouraged to be aggressive, assertive to the point of aggressive to get what they want. The problem with this is that this want, what Guru Maharaj says is identified in the Bhagavatam as hridrogam, heart disease, I want. So in an egocentric existence, we're trying to expand the circumference of our exploiting ability, thinking that we'll achieve happiness by taking advantage of others, that we will address that need, that want. It'll be satisfied through acquiring, controlling, and consuming things which are lower than ourselves. Because that only that which is lower than the self can be acquired, controlled, consumed. I mean, consumerism. Happiness through consumerism. Right? Better living through chemistry. But sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj would call it living by this process, we are incurring loan. He calls it the land of loan and debt. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Karmic reaction to former actions that have been performed. So, although temporarily we may acquire energy that allows us to exploit or expand the circumference of our exploiting ability, the reaction will come. Right? The debt, the loan will be called. What does it say? Karmana deva netrena. So when that time comes, that means the short-lived happiness of exploitation is replaced by suffering, anxiety, And what's been in other places described as, you know, bhog, enjoyment, tyag, renunciation. After so much enjoyment accompanied by the reactions of suffering, then people start thinking that it'll be a happier life to renounce all of this, right? As you say in this comment, to absorb oneself in Brahman, I mean, to get out of the world of action and reaction and enter the non-differentiated neutral plane. Just as someone who's suffering from a particular type of disease, severe disease, they may think that by ending their existence, they'll put an end to the suffering. Why people commit suicide. They think, I can't tolerate the pain of living to the point of anything would be better than this. So self-annihilation, right? Thinking that in that stage, then I won't have to experience anything. Just as we could say, if someone was suffering from cataract, they could think to remove their eye, remove the eyes, then the cataract is gone. But then the prospect for seeing is also vanished. So, and it's not the question of them and us or blaming any particular people. Narada chastises Vedavyas for telling him that although it wasn't your intention, inadvertently, you've given people the impression that by following religious life, that you'll become free from the negative effects of material existence, and you'll be relatively happy. And Narada is saying, unfortunately, this will have a tendency to keep people bound in material existence, in this cycle of bhog and tyag. And you've given so much emphasis on the treatment of disease, right? If you're suffering in this way, this is the recommendation. If you're suffering from this, another type of recommendation. You've given so many prescriptions how to overcome the diseased condition, right? How to counteract a disease. Said, but you haven't clearly delineated what is healthy life. So in the absence of a proper conception of what healthy life existence could be, people opt for no existence whatsoever. That is what Brahman really means, to enter the undifferentiated plane. Get out of this idea of that I'll be become happy or satisfied through fulfilling desire. We know that when Srila Guru Maharaj was preaching to one man, he used this high verse sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam to make a point along these lines. And the Vikriditam Brajabidu Virajam Vishnu Sradhanvato Anushanaya Dattavarnayeja Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam Ridrogamashu Api Hinoti Achirena Dhira. On the theme of transmigration, he said, when I was in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate a mountain of stool, and my hridrogam, my heart's desire, was not satisfied. When I was in the body of an elephant, I ate jungles, and it didn't satisfy that hankering. So how to address that? You know, heart surgery, what? To remove the heart, to remove all possibility of feeling or desire. It's interesting, the word kama and kamini, kama particularly, is taken generally to mean mundane desire, lust, lobe. But it's also used in a higher sense. Sometimes it's used in reference to the Brajagopis, but someone like Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur will point out, because they've already been established as being beyond the mundane. When a word like kam is used in relation to them, it means, it's synonymous with prem, love. So, in one of his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that it might be in the, where is that? Kama hoy tu kama. Kama esha, krodha esha, raja guno samudbhava, mahashano mahapapa, vidyena mihavairana. In that section, maybe in the third chapter, says our natural love for Krishna has been, you know, pervertedly manifest as a lust for matter. So it's that same principle. The heart is searching for something, right? Being frustrated with not achieving happiness or satisfaction through material accumulation, someone might conclude, think, then just get rid of this altogether. So Gurmukh says, the world of exploitation, becoming exhausted after so being exploited and trying to exploit, living a life based on exploitation, one may try to renounce everything. The world of the plane of renunciation, and think that will bring happiness. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is introducing the pastimes of Krishna, which can actually bring that satisfaction that the heart is hankering for. There, perhaps in the prayers of the demigods, when they're praying for the Lord, the descent, the avatar, Krishna avatar, say, Aruhya Krishchena Param Padam Tatak Patantiro Anadrita Jasmaid Angraya. Someone may, to extricate themselves from the world of action and reaction, karmic world of destiny, perform austerities, withdraw from everything. They may go so far as to reach the outskirts of the spiritual sky, right? To withdraw from the negative plane and then enter that neutral zone on the outskirts of the spiritual sky. And he says, but patanti adho adha, patanti anadrita jasmaid angraya, but failing to worship the lotus feet of Krishna, they again have to come back down into this world. So bhog and tyag, enjoyment and renunciation, are a cycle. One tires of and is frustrated and suffering the reactions of enjoyment, goes into renunciation phase. Like someone who gets drunk. They get drunk, get very happy, and then that wears off, and then the next day they have a hangover. And what are they saying when they have the hangover? I'll never drink again. It's horrible. The thought of it makes me sick. They're swearing. They'll never touch another drop of alcohol as long as they live. They're finished with this. It's all over for them. Then some time goes by, and they say, oh, one drink, two drinks, three drinks. Oh, this is so nice. They're feeling so high and happy. And whereas I wake up the next day, oh, I'll never. That's all it is. It's that simple. Just like when we want to understand economics, it's just like dealing with rickshaw wallahs. Whether you're on Wall Street, it's two nations, it's the same thing. It's negotiating with a rickshaw wallah. You have to learn to walk away, then they come back, lower the price, or any taxi. It's the same principle. So although we try and express it in some lofty language or some high talk, it's the same thing. It's base, bhog and tyag. Enjoyment, the reaction to enjoyment, suffering comes, then renunciation. Then after renunciation fails to satisfy the heart and give any real nourishment, we come back down to the plane of exploitation or enjoyment again. So it's cyclical. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Vej Tasyeva Hetu Prayate Tuko Vido Nalabhyate Talabhyate Yat Brahmatam Uparyada. Wandering the length and breadth of the universe. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. That actually, if you analyze this carefully, you'll come to the conclusion that by the laws of karma, action and reaction, you're predestined for a certain amount of enjoyment and a certain amount of suffering. So don't waste your time and energy trying to minimize the suffering and maximize the enjoyment. Saying, rather, and this is going on throughout the length and breadth of the universe. Kine punye marchalokam vishanti tetam bhukva marchalokam vishalam. The Gita talks about it's similar to the Bhagavatam sloka. You can achieve the higher planetary systems, superior levels of enjoyment, but after that's exhausted, it's like a bank account. After your credits, pious credits, have been exhausted by using them for enjoyment in heavenly circumstances, again, you have to come down to this position. And we see that. I mean, although it's there in the scripture, we can see a parallel to that in the world, in life. So, it says, rather, try for that one thing you can't get navigating the material world. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev. If you're fortunate, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Come in connection with an agent from the land of dedication. Right? Here, the very environment is a threat to our existence. It's also called Martyaloka, the world of death. Right? It's inevitable. Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, they like to quote the Gray's elegy, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. When Chekhov, in one of his short stories, tells something that sounds like life, some man meets an attractive woman at a party, he's interested in her, and she slips him a note that says, "Meet me in the graveyard at midnight." And he's somewhat older, he goes home, he thinks, "She's playing with me. I'm not such a fool that I'm going to go out in a graveyard at midnight. She's just trying to make a fool out of me." That's how he's thinking at around 10:30. Then his mind, udred atmanat manam nat manam avasadiyet, atmaiva hyatmano bandhur atmaiva ripur atmana. It's getting later. He's saying, what if she goes and I'm not there? That would be terrible. He summons the driver to get the horses ready. Around 11:45, he's out there in the graveyard waiting. You know, it's for... why? Because he wants what he thinks, what his heart is searching for, it'll be realized in making a connection with this person. Right? Searching for a person, loving, affectionate exchange. The thing, what I'm feeling in my heart, right? Body, mind, soul, this is projecting an ideal. The heart's carrying an ideal. It's projecting that ideal on to a mundane canvas. This is what we do. Right? It happens to be another person. And sometimes people resent that in time. But at any rate, he goes there. While he's waiting, it's approaching midnight, he goes for a walk in the graveyard. He's looking at the tombstones. And they have the names of so many young women. And he sees, born on this date, died on this date. And he's thinking, they were also just like me. And this girl, they were in the world, searching, trying to satisfy their heart's inner necessity. But this is where it ends up. That's why it's a powerful story. It's a very simple, short story. And in the guise of some ordinary events in life, he takes us to this plane of memento mori, a death reminder. So, try for that one thing that's not available. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartino jana. Mama Petya Punar Janma. Brahma Loka. Krishna saying, from Brahma Loka, from the lowest planet to the highest planet, it's just variations on this theme. Sometimes we're told in the Bhagavatam the average life duration of a person on Brahma Loka is 15 trillion years. Right. Earth, you know, approximately 100 years. The Chandraloka, 6 months. The heavenly planet, 6 months is 12 hours. Right. A year is a day. and on as you go higher and higher until you reach Brahmaloka, the average lifespan, 15 trillion years. Brahma's lifespan, over 315 trillion years. But still, not immortal, not eternal. That position has to be given up. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavanji, fortunate souls navigating the mundane world, searching for self-fulfillment. One is very fortunate, they come in connection with an agent of the world of dedication. Where unlike here, where the very environment is a threat sooner or later. This is the world at present, and reviewing the last year, what's one of the top stories? Of course, Ebola. So for, and it's going on right now, but for a while, the whole world was tilted on this Ebola crisis. Everybody was afraid, all over the world. And it's not, I'm not making light of, there are people right now who are infected, dying with this. But it's more or less contained. But we know that's the nature of this world, whether it's that or before that it was SARS, or what was the other one? H1N1, bird flu, AIDS. It just what we should learn from that is it will always be something. They will say, oh, they just, eradicated polio in India, which incidentally was eradicated in other parts of the world, like in the 1950s or something. But still, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. It's just the same thing, repeating a cycle, and it takes on, the diseases take on different names from time to time. So the very environment is inimical to us. What is the status of affairs in the land of dedication? The soil has your best interest at heart. Whereas here, the soil may be killing us. Right? Where were those places where they had toxic soil? There was a famous incident where the soil's polluting all the people. Anyway, there's more than one. Right? Some, what was it called? Ugra karma. Karmis, and they have some particular activity they're introducing that's supposed to be beneficial for everybody, for human civilization, and it ends up being harmful to people, killing everybody, polluting the water, polluting the air, polluting the soil, right? Polluting the sky, right? In the name of the progress of civilization and such things. So in this world, anityam asukam lokam, right. Everything is a potential threat. The opposite in the land of dedication, where the soil has your interest at heart more than we do. Vaikuntyer prithivyadi sakala chanmoy. It's spiritually conscious soil. Guru Maharaj has also called it the land of gurus. He said, where the very soil is of superior quality to our own existence. And rather than trying to exploit us on the principle of one living entity living at the expense of another, the rule there is you thrive through dedication, by serving one another. Anadrita jasmait angreya means failing to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. So it's not enough to get release from negativity. It's not enough to enter a neutral state. Mukti arhat banyata rupam svaropena vibhasati. Vyas, Narada told Vyas, tell them about their prospect in the upper world, in the land of dedication, that there you have a divine form suitable for service and association with Krishna and his devotees. So, negative, the neutral position, and positive. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna is saying that Brahman is resting on me ultimately. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadandakoti. Another question. Jyotir Priti Tunum Hiranya Purusham. What we're actually interested in, that Brahman, it only appears to be impersonal from a distance. Just like if you're flying at night to any city, at a certain point you start seeing a light off in the distance, some hazy light. But then as you get nearer, you start seeing some distinguishing characteristics. And when the plane lands, you see there's a whole city, a world, people, so many things. Yes? Is there any other?
We just talk about the animals. And because like human beings, we may have the false ego that you're a beautiful lady, or even some people, one is demigod or tigers. So do animals understand who they are? And how come that something that is based in us become our evil guardian? Evil guide. Guy guardian.
Something that is what?
Based in us. The ego. The ego.
Ego?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, we know from observing animals, in some instances, they also know when they're pretty. And they have some ego. Like thoroughbred horses, they have some ego. They know that they're special. And peacocks know that they're very beautiful. And so, and they are. It's odd. And one of his purports, Prabhupada says that, like, we can look at these flowers. They're beautiful. He's saying how amazing it is that the forms of suffering living beings, they're suffering, but they can look so beautiful. The beautiful horse, you know, dog, bird, flower, it can look so enchanting. At the basis of it is suffering. When Krishna and Balaram are walking to the Vrindavan forest, Krishna, at one point he's speaking, he's glorifying the trees, but sometimes he's speaking about them as if they were ordinary trees and saying, on account of their sinful activities, they had to take birth as trees. But that's not true there. It's on account of their exalted nature that they've taken that form in Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami says, Yat kinchit tri gu maki katam mukam goshte samastam itat sarvananda mukunda doitam lilanukulam param. Even the insects, bird, the trees, everything in the dam is mukunda doita, very dear to Krishna, because lilanukul, they're assisting in his pastimes. So here, Manu, we're told, when speaking to some sages. They're having a philosophical discussion, and they start realizing that tamasa bahurupena vestita karmahetuna mano thing. You see those trees? They're dressed in their karma. You see these animals? They're dressed in their karma. It's karmic dress. Tamasa bahurupena. All these many different forms of karmic dress, but all atma. Ascharja bhat paschati kashchidenam. Krishna is telling Arjuna, but if you can see through that and see the soul, even observing this, what the soul is doing in all these different forms is amazing. But if you can look through that, you'll be astonished at what the potential of the soul is. In the upper world, swarupena vivasati, in that realm. So here, the mind, according to Srila Saraswati Thakur, is that evil guardian who's robbing Jiva of her wealth. The wealth of Jiva is realized in service to Krishna and Karshna, Krishna and his devotees. What does Gurumar say? That the Jiva has no capital but lives on credit. Right? And another place he said, Jiva is an impoverished Shakti. So she needs credit. Have to approach a capitalist and get to open a credit line. That's what we do through spiritual connections. Right? Ashraya Vigraha is the shelter-giving personality who's enabling Jiva to realize her actual wealth. Another example of Saraswati Thakur is that if a common girl marries a prince, she becomes a princess. Right? By dint of that connection, everything that's owned by the prince becomes hers. Just to that one connection alone, her position completely changes. It's something like that. Then, and with proper spiritual connection, then Jiva becomes unlimitedly wealthy. Right? But it's this, Gurudev liked to quote this sloka, ahankara nivrittanam, what is that? Keshava nahiduraga, and with Parvata Rishaya, saying, or Bhakti Vinod, Hari Vinod bole hai hai, Hari das hari nahi pai. Krishna's really nearest and dearest, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, but nowhere to be found at present. What's the problem? What's separating us is a mountain of ego. Right? A mountain of ego is separating us from who is nearest and dearest to us. So, we need to move from egocentricity to theocentric via guru centricity, guru and Vaishnav. By taking shelter of guru and Vaishnav, everyone's benefited. Even the dog, the tree, everything. Everything that comes in connection with Krishna's devotees becomes transformed. Not only human beings. Here, this environment, all these, how fortunate they are to be here in the presence of the deity, the devotees, the kirtan, the prasadam. And this present good fortune is indicative of future good fortune. So it's not the animal form is not what is not what is objectionable, actually. Kita janmaho jatatu adas bahir mukha brahma janme nahiyas. What is lamentable is no connection with Krishna and his devotees, no appreciation. So what was that? The whole thing?
Why it is testing us become our evil guardian?
Why? I didn't hear that. Why is...
It's the ego that is based in us.
That is based, facing? I can't
based,
hear what you're saying.
Based.
And why is it doing what? Just read what it says.
It is, how come that something that is based in us become our evil guardian?
Oh. Okay. Because it is an acquired tendency, an acquired prejudice. Right? What to speak of this on, you know, on a fine spiritual matter? People understand in life, they become overwhelmed by anger or ego, even without any spiritual realization. This goes on every day in somebody's life. Right? What is that? What is that force? I mean, Krishna is, again, talking about Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava. So, it's, in Guru Maharaj's language, acquired tendency, acquired prejudice. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one place, how odd it is that the prejudices we've acquired, we acquired them without thinking, but when it comes time to give them up, we have to think about it very deeply. We're afraid to let go of these things because we've come to identify that with them as part of ourselves. Another way to look at it is like drug addiction, which starts out of curiosity, but in time, once someone is actually addicted, they think that that is themselves, that that is their necessity, and they allow that to guide every aspect of their lives. That there's a sloka like that in the Gita, what is it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasyaha ahankar vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Kartaham iti manyate means we're thinking we're doing some particular thing, but at a certain stage it's just the modes of nature operating us, playing us. So the ego we're identifying with, a false constructed self based on acquired tendencies and acquired prejudices, we're viewing as ourselves. So the self needs to be reconceived. Right? Instead of an exploiting unit, we're back to the original question. Instead of trying to achieve happiness by acquiring, controlling, and consuming things lower than us, we shall offer ourselves in service to something higher. That's the difference between exploitation and dedication. Is there any other question?
Hear that Krishna consciousness is a descending process, mm-hmm. but there so many stages and types of sadhana which show progress from our own sides? Do we try our best to ascend, but know that really in our hearts it must come down to us?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word ascend here. Everything is dependent upon Krishna's mercy. If we think that our ascent can be based upon our performance, some kind of step and repeat process, we'll be misled and ultimately disappointed. The famous sloka of Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyadam yadi kutopi na labhyate tatra lolyam mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritaya na labhyate. Janmakoti sukriti. 10 million births of accumulated sukriti will not give this to you. It won't be a means of ascent to achieve that. But lolyam, genuine heart's hankering. How will that come? We could make a reasonable case that we can't, what we think to be our hearts are not trustworthy. So the safe position of a devotee, asvaya loya bhaje tare Krishna nahi taje akarane marane. To take shelter of a devotee, back to the idea of the capitalist, those devotees whose hearts are pure and trustworthy, who actually have love and affection for Krishna, if we serve them, associate with them, similar tendencies will be awakened within our heart. Then our hearts become, in time, reliable. So, on the one hand, we acknowledge God helps those that help themselves. There has to be something from our side. But ma paleshu kadachana, the result, that's up to Krishna. We can't self-certify or by our own prowess ascend and make progress. Everything's dependent on Krishna's mercy. Prasada leshano grihita evahi. There has to be a little mercy from Krishna, otherwise not. Hare Krishna. Okay? Every day we think, yasya prasada nagati katopi, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. That's the conclusion of the Gauravastakam. Sajjan Toshini. Srila Saraswati Thakur explained. Sat means Radha and Krishna. The Absolute Truth is not alone. Radha and Krishna are at the heart of the matter. Sajjan means those who are wholly given over to them, who have no other reason to be, no other reason for existence, sajjan. Toshini, to try and please them. That's the method of approach of the devotees. Tadbritya britta Paricharaka Britya Britta Gopi Bartur Padakamalayo Dasa Dasanu Dasa. To try and serve and please the servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. So, in this sense, that sort of focus is indispensable to spiritual progress. By concentrating more on service to Guru and Vaishnav, the result will be elevation. In Guru Maharaj's words, kirtanam, kirtan, by extending Krishna conception to others, saying that's an indispensable necessity for personal growth and development. Hare Krishna.